This podcast is a part of the Neuhoff Media Podcast Network.
SHS St. Mary's Hospital will host a gently used sale next Thursday from 7 to 2 in the hospital's Assisi room. Among the items for sale, purses, jewelry, scarves, sunglasses, books, movies, games, CDs, candles, and much more. For more stories, podcasts, and videos, visit nowdecatur.com.
The clock's ticking in Arizona. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News. A ban on nearly all abortions there, even in cases of rape and incest, could take effect in 2 weeks.
The near total Civil War era ban that continues to hang over our heads only serves to create more chaos for women and doctors in our state.
Democratic Governor Katie Hobbs urging state lawmakers to repeal the old law that's been upheld by Arizona's Supreme Court. Some Republican legislators also want to get rid of it, hoping to restore a 2022 law restricting abortions after 15 weeks of pregnancy. President Biden says Israel's prime minister is making mistakes, continuing the war against Hamas in Gaza, telling Univision,
"What I'm calling for is for the Israelis to just call for a ceasefire
so that more food and humanitarian aid can get to Palestinian civilians in Gaza." The president also says he could consider executive action to deal with record illegal immigration. Fox's Peter Ducey's at the White House.
President Biden has been on the record earlier this year saying he would have the power to shut down the border if the bipartisan Senate deal became the law, but it's not going to. So until that moment, he has just been claiming that his hands are tied forever. And his DHS secretary, who's in charge of all this, Alejandro Mayorkas, is remaining in limbo a little longer because the House that already impeached him is delaying sending the articles to the Senate.
Instead of today, they'll deliver them next week. Republicans blame Mayorkas for ignoring laws. Senator Ted Cruz says,
"We are witnessing a profound threat to our nation at the southern border. Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, and this entire administration has deliberately and willfully facilitated the criminal invasion of this country."
But Senate Democrats may not even hold a trial, calling impeachment a policy dispute and publicity stunt. New rules are coming for our drinking water. The EPA finalizing limits on so-called forever chemicals known as PFAs. But legal challenges may be coming. Utilities warn it'll make water cost more because new treatment systems are expensive, and that'll especially hurt smaller communities with limited resources. America's listening to Fox News.
You know, today, $20 barely gets you a burger and fries, and maybe it'll get you a quarter tank of gas. But you know what it'll get you, though? For just $20 a month, you get unlimited talk and text and plenty of 5G data from my friends, my cell phone company, a veteran-owned company, Pure Talk. Make the switch today, and you'll save an additional 50% off your first month. Now choose a wireless company that shares your values. Just dial #250, say the keyword save now, make the switch today, #250, keyword save now from Pure Talk.
Getting quality employees to fill positions in your company is essential, but finding those people can be a major hassle. Unless you use ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter makes finding quality people a breeze. ZipRecruiter's advanced technology identifies candidates with the right skills, sends you great matches, then you can easily invite them to apply. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. See for yourself. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/free to try ZipRecruiter for free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Former President Trump lost yet another bid in court yesterday, trying to delay his first criminal trial set to start next week in New York. He's also fighting a judge's gag order limiting Trump comments on the case and court staff and family. The former president's charged with falsifying records related to 2016 payments to keep quiet an alleged affair he denies. A former Trump executive is due back in court today, facing more time behind bars.
Longtime Trump Organization Chief Financial Officer Alan Weisselberg is expected to be sentenced after pleading guilty last month to lying under oath in the civil fraud trial of former President Donald Trump. Weisselberg, who is 76, is expected to receive a sentence of 5 months. While the plea deal sends him back to jail, it does not require him to testify at the former president's hush money trial involving adult film star Stormy Daniels, set to begin next week. In recent years, Weisselberg has pleaded guilty to multiple felonies in a different Trump Organization case and spent months behind bars for failing to pay taxes on company perks. In New York City, Tanya J. Powers, Fox News.
Later this hour, we'll get an inflation update expected to show consumer prices rose again last month from February, and the annual rate of price increases might have also risen. That is a trend lately after inflation surge had come down. So Fox Business Network's Jerry Willis reports this morning's report will be
closely watched by the Fed as the central bank weighs when and if it will cut rates. Currently, the market is pricing in a 58% chance for a Fed rate cut in June.
Ahead of the report, stock futures are rising. There's news ahead of the Olympics. For the first time, gold medalists in Paris this summer will also win prize money in 48 track and field events. Days after the Women's National Championship was the most watched basketball game, men or women's, college or pro, in 5 years. Stanford coach Tara Vanderveer is retiring. She's the winningest women's college basketball coach of all time. I'm Dave Anthony. This is Fox News.
Bring into fashion at Shop on Main. Stop in today to see the beautiful selection of vibrant colors and apparel, fun and beautiful accessories, including the new Chala handbags. New arrivals are coming in daily, and you'll be sure to dance into spring with the latest fashions. Don't wait. Shop today at Shop on Main and the Party Shop in beautiful downtown Decatur. Shop on Main, 407 North Main, Decatur.
Coach House Garages, designed to fit your life, budget, and dreams. Built on generations of Amish craftsmanship with the best warranty in the industry, where service is more than a promise, it's a guarantee. Their custom-built buildings have been turned into all kinds of spaces, from garden sheds and pool houses to workshops and guest houses. The possibilities are endless. You can count on Coach House to listen to your needs and create the perfect building to fit your vision. For more information, visit CoachHouseGarages.com.
Here's a look at your News Channel 20 storm team forecast today. Slight chance of rain, mainly after 5 p.m., mostly cloudy, high near 66 tonight. Windy with showers, mainly after 7 p.m. Rain could be heavy at times, low around 51. For Thursday, showers and more wind, high near 56. Friday, sunny and breezy with a high near 62. Current temperature in downtown Decatur, 48 degrees. Your WSOY time is 7:06. This look at your weather, it's brought to you by Shop on Main, downtown Decatur. Modern looks, old-fashioned pampering.
Good morning and welcome to the 7 o'clock hour of Buyers and Companies. Wednesday, Clay's in from the Decatur Park District. We'll check in with Mark Topper and Topper on Sports. A little later today, our friends from Milliken and Crossing Healthcare, the company, starts now.
Buyers and Company, WSOY, 1340 AM, 103.3 FM, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Good morning and welcome. We're back here on a at least sunny start to our morning here. A little rain coming in, as Nick said, this afternoon. Looks like it's going to be a banner weekend out there. So get your roller skates ready to go. Clay Gerhardt joins us, the executive director of the Decatur Park District, in every Wednesday with us to talk about what's going on. All right, rolling back time. How popular has this been?
Oh, it was crazy successful. The first time we did this in January, we had, had a lot of folks who were, you know, who came out, had a good time. It was interesting to see the, older individuals who worked there back in the day when roller skating was going on, come back and kind of relive some of their memories of, being a
roller skater. When was that? I mean, the older days.
Well, I mean, 60s, 70s is when it kind of ended. Actually, I think it was early 1980s is when the last one, happened, but.
And it was there at Fairview?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't have any memories of that at all.
I know.
Because we had two roller rinks, at that point in town. Yeah.
So it was an ice rink. So we had, concession stand there with a full grill room and whatnot. And we had several ladies who used to work in there cooking hot dogs and hamburgers and whatnot. And then we had, a lot of gentlemen were the rink guards. So, but it was cool to see the kids coming out.
So you're talking about ice skating, not roller skating.
Yes, ice skating.
Okay. See, that's what confused me.
Sorry.
I thought you meant they were coming back to roller skate, which meant they were roller skating in the '70s. I mean, they were ice skating in the '70s.
Okay.
There we go.
They were ice skating. So, it was just neat to see them. you know, relive their memories and then watch the kids. A lot of them hadn't skated, you know, for a long time because we don't have a rink care indicator anymore. So, we had a lot of little aides, you know, the little walkers to help them, along on their journey as they learned how to roller skate again. And, yeah, people had a, had a great time and just begged to have this come back. So, we're bringing it back here, this weekend and next weekend.
Okay. So the 12th through the 14th, right?
Yep.
And then the 19th through the 21st.
Yep. So that's Friday, Saturday, Sunday, both weekends. You've got, on the 2nd and the 9th, it'll be from 4 to 8 p.m. On the 3rd and the 10th, it'll be from noon to 8. And on Sundays, the 4th and 11th, noon to 6.
I'm confused.
So it's just, huh, you're confused.
What's 2, 3, and 4?
The dates. So they copy and pasted from when we did it before. Ignore that.
Okay.
So, on Friday nights, it's 4 to 8 p.m. On Saturdays, it's noon to 8 p.m. And on Sundays, it's noon to 6 p.m.
All right. So it's the 12th through the 14th. And the 19th through the 21st.
Yes.
Friday night, 4 to 8. Saturday, noon to 8. Sunday, noon to 6.
There you go.
All right.
$6 for 1 hour skating with a $3 skate rental. And
if I have my own skates, I can bring them?
Yep. You can have your own skates. You can bring them. You just pay for the $6 for an hour skating, and you can have some fun. So we get about 150 people out there on the rink at a time. And, yeah, it's just it's fun to come out and watch. Even if you don't want to skate, come out and watch. Kids enjoy the experience.
All right. So what is it? Do you have music? Do you have food? You know, what's going on?
Yep. So we've got concessions. We'll have our cinnamon sugar mini donut trailer out there again. We will have music from our resident DJ, Tony Albertina, and his staff. And then we'll have the lights going on. And it's just a unique experience, especially as it gets dark, just to see the pavilion in a different light.
All right. And what kind of music's played?
Oh, everything. And then they take requests, too. And we kind of make sure the requests are appropriate.
Do you do the guys only, the gals only? I mean, do you do the, I'm trying to like go back and think about some of the skating things that were, there were several kind of things that would happen in a given couple of hours where
the
hokey
pokey, the cross corners, the
four corners,
yeah, that one was fun.
Yep
Disco, name it.
Scott Chapman helped organize some of those games the last time we did it, and he had a blast doing that. But we do periodically throughout the evening, we'll say, okay, kids, take a break. Let's let the adults have some skate time. And you've got some guys out there and gals that can fly around that rink.
Yeah.
It's fun to watch. And then we'll do the opposite, where we'll say, all right, adults, come off the rink. Let the more younger skaters have their time.
And it's ladies only and that kind of thing, right? Yeah. That's, I'm trying to go back. This is a long time ago. you know, we had two very popular skating facilities. There was a South and a North, right? Was it Great Skate?
Great Skate North, Great Skate South.
Yeah. And there was, you know, like you could go play air hockey and other stuff or whatever. And then there was the rink, but there was very much a ritual to the whole thing, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I remember going out to George's here with my daughter here before they closed. And, you know, just a fun time to come around and do some skating and, yeah.
Well, I like the fact that it was so popular that it's back. You know, back by popular demand is always a good problem to have.
And it's a different use for the pavilion at Fairview Park. And, you know, during a time when it would usually be vacant and unused, we've been able to bring some new life and some new energy to Fairview Park as well.
Talk to me a little bit about rentals of pavilions. I know it's still very popular, but I think sometimes younger people forget about all the possibilities there are with all of your different facilities. And I know like the main pavilion at Fairview is a big thing for family reunions or large get-togethers, but I can't tell you how many people I've talked to over the last number of years like didn't know about the Scoville House or didn't know about. You have a ton of really great venues that are available for the general public to use.
Right. So not only do we have our 26 neighborhood parks, which all have pavilions in them, some of them have multiple pavilions, but you're right, we've got.
And then how do you reserve? Is there a cost? Mm-hmm. I mean, like to say you want to like have a family reunion and you want to use half of, you know, the big pavilion at Fairview.
Yep. There is a cost associated with that. Now I'll say this, any of our pavilions, you could go use at any time. The risk you run is if someone has paid for the use of that pavilion, then they have first right of refusal of that pavilion. That also, when you rent a pavilion, that make sure that our staff come over in the morning, we clean the bathrooms, we blow off the tables, blow off the pavilion, because you get leaves and dust and debris in every night. So it's a nominal fee, anywhere ranging from, I think, $35 to, you know, it can be $150 for, you know, half of the Fairview number one pavilion for a day. But, reserving it, just make sure you have the space when you show up.
Okay.
But you can go to any park right now and say you wanted to go to the Garmin Park and have a picnic, you could go do that.
Well, that's right. If you got 3 or 4 people, but you got 200 people coming to town for some sort of reunion or whatever, you want to make sure you've got it. And then you think about just over at Scoville Zoo, the Environmental Education Center, the Scoville House. There's just a lot of unique places where you can have a birthday party or a wedding shower or whatever it might be.
Exactly. And we've got Hickory Point Bank Facility. We've got the Scoville Activity Center. We've got the Red Tail Run Pavilion, where we're starting to talk about renting out more because we've had some inquiries for weddings out there. And then we're really taking a look at some of our outdoor spaces that, brides consistently want to get married out on the golf course. And so we are looking at how we can adapt to that to meet that need. And, trying to come up with new things to keep everything going.
And so just the main office would be the best place to contact, or go to the website?
Yep, call the park office. We'll get you in touch with the people you need to talk to, and they can talk to you about what's available and what the price points are.
All right, good. Senior Games.
Yeah, coming up April 22nd through 26th, age 50 and up. Do you qualify?
Shut up. I've qualified for a long time.
So the cost is just $10 for one event, $20 for two or more events. The events include things like bowling, golf, free throw shooting, mini golf, pickleball, rope skipping, table tennis, track. All participants will receive a t-shirt, and medals will be presented to the top three winners in each category.
How many people participate in this every year? Do you have any idea?
I think it usually runs around 60 to 75. We're trying to boost those numbers up with our senior activity programs going on at Scoville. So we do a closing ceremonies at Scoville Park West, which is kind of cool to celebrate all those winners. And then you can get registration forms at Decatur-Parks.org or the Decatur Indoor Sports Center, or as always, call our park office, and we'll be happy to connect you with the right folks there.
Okay. I love the fact that you have rope skipping on this list.
It's a thing.
I'm just...
They did it back in the day. Back in your era.
Skipping. table tennis. Not actual tennis. But if you're, 50 plus, keep that cardio low enough just to go back and forth across the table.
Otherwise known as ping pong, right?
Yes. Table tennis and rope skipping. Somebody in their 90s wrote this. crying out loud. 50 isn't 50 anymore, Clay.
I know. We've added pickleball, so that's a big modern sport.
Yeah, modern sport for the young 50s.
Tom Brady.
All right, $10 for one event, and then just $20 for two or more
events. Yep, two or more events. So you can sign up for multiple events, and again,
and you have track on here. What does that mean? Yeah.
So I think they go to the indoor sports center and do different track activities. Whether they'll run the quarter mile, I don't know.
25 yards.
Yeah, something like that. How fast can you walk a mile? Type thing. So.
Wow.
We're keeping seniors active and engaged in this community.
But you're including everybody 50 and up.
Yes, because there are younger folks who want to be involved as well. And there's different categories. So you're not competing against the 80-year-old necessarily. You're competing against folks.
Well, what's the point if I can't compete against an 80-year-old?
You just want to be.
What's the advantage of getting into the senior Olympics?
You're looking for the advantage. Just come have fun with us. Quit critiquing this.
I'm not critiquing. I'm just saying it just feels like I feel like if you see people in general, in life today, that people are much healthier at an older age than they were 25 years ago, and they could probably do more than table tennis.
Again,
just saying,
I'm not going to win this.
It's not about winning. I'm just saying, it 50 plus is a huge age range.
It is. And I think they lowered that from years past. So maybe that's where the disconnect is a little bit. But,
I'm sure it's just an individual disconnect.
Golf. I mean, yeah.
Yeah. All those young sports. Nick, how close are you to being able to compete in this? Just out of curiosity.
What's the age?
50.
Oh, I got a few years.
What's a few?
Like 5 or 6.
So in 5 years, Nick's going to be eligible to do this.
Irv, you want to play some hoops?
I think it's a good thing.
No, I think it's great because people are way more active, over the age of 50 or 60 or 70 or whatever it might be than they ever have been. I mean, and golf is one of those sports that is what I've always liked about golf and
we literally have a senior tour
is that you can play for your whole life, mm-hmm. Like tennis. I mean, there's probably an age out on basketball and some things where some of these sports are lifelong activities, which is great.
Right. And most of these activities are low impact, so not going to hurt yourself, hopefully. And, it's just a way to good Lord. I give up. Moving on. Devin Amphitheater.
No, okay. I'm just curious. That's all.
So, Clay, are these like round robin things throughout the summer? Is that the format at different venues?
And is there a governing body with this? I mean, is this something you do on your own?
We do it on our own.
Okay.
It's our senior program.
And then somebody can win an event and maybe even vie for the overall like medal count kind of thing. Oh, cool. That's pretty good.
Could really be your own Michael Phelps.
I would do that.
Huh?
I guess I should start getting ready to do that.
Start training now. You're not
too far away.
Where does it take place? All over town?
Yeah. They'll have it all over different facilities. You know, bowling will probably be at spare time lanes. And then golf is at one of our golf courses and so on. So you'll be notified once you register of where your event will be taking place and what time. And
Okay. How's the Scoville Park West Activity Center going?
Bursting at the seams right now. We've got seniors out there every single day playing, again, we're going to get into the whole, seniors definition, but, right now they are engaged in more of the, card games, bingo, mahjong, just socialization activities. We are seeing more and more folks using the trails out there and we're getting ready to, resurface a portion of those trails. As well. We just had a senior lunch yesterday, which I think they had 180 folks at that one. So, it's things are going on constantly out there. Tax season is kind of wrapping up. I don't know the exact number of tax preparations were done, but last I knew we were up over like 1,200.
Really? That's incredible.
Free tax preps for seniors. And that's done through AARP.
Now, is that 50 plus two?
Yeah, I think actually anyone
you should lean into that.
No, I'm just
that's
asking.
A good service.
I know, right?
1,200 is crazy.
They don't deny anyone who comes to need their taxes done. They just will help them no matter what the age. So
I'm just trying to get a guideline on what senior means, Clay. Here today, that's all.
Okay. Well, I'll give you a joke or a funny sideline. Is Jamie Gower, our director of rec, back when the senior center was on 22nd Street, he actually had his taxes done there. He sat in line and waited to get his taxes done there. So.
There
that's
we
a
go.
Running joke. But, lots of activity going on at Scoville. And we're
is construction going on yet over there?
No, we're just in the initial design phases with the architects and engineers and the stakeholders who are going to be involved in that. But we hope to be breaking ground sometime around this time next year would be our goal.
Since you mentioned trails, are there trails going in through Nelson Park right next to Overlook? Is that what's going on as people drive by?
We had a lot of rumors about what was going on there, but yes. The story behind that is IDOT is replacing the bridge over the old Lakeshore Drive. And there's an old staircase that's next to it that's fallen apart, but it is one of the ways people get up and down from Route 36 to Lakeshore Drive when they want to do walking around the lake or whatnot. So we worked with IDOT because they said they wanted to remove the stairs when they put the new bridge in, and IDOT agreed to put in a bike trail connector path from Route 36 at 27th Street all the way down to Nelson Park. It's Lakeshore Drive. And that whole project was about $380,000, and it's fully funded by IDOT. No taxpayer dollars from Decatur.
There's that weird staircase down there, to go to the upper platform or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. And when you look at our plan long term is to have a bike trail all the way around basin number two. You've already got the bike trail out by the Children's Museum and the zoo. We've got, the bike trail in Nelson Park. And so now we'll be able to connect up to Route 36. And that'll kind of be the next thing is working with IDOT on how we get a sidewalk wide enough to be a trail all the way out to Country Club Road. And then the biggest hurdle we're going to have is this Lost Bridge Road because of its narrowness and ability to put a trail in there. But we're hoping someday to be able to do that. But this gets us just another further down the road towards that goal.
And bringing our tax dollars back home.
Exactly.
No doubt about it. By the way, I am eligible for the senior center, too. It says 55 and up there, so we've set a different bar. But I'm still okay.
Awesome.
Just planning my week.
What would you call yourself?
I think it is there's the individual question that you're asking me, which is an individual answer. But I think in general, we as a society have sort of looked at things differently today than we have in the past. I mean, I don't think 50 today is the same thing as 50 25 years ago. So I think there are larger degrees. When you're talking about a 50 plus audience, you're talking about people in their 50s and their 60s and their 70s and their 80s. And that's a very wide range of things. And I think you go see a lot more people doing heavy lifting and cardio stuff in their 50s and 60s mm-hmm. that you didn't see 25, 30 years ago.
Right. Right.
Which is a good thing.
Right.
You know.
And that's his 50,
like, I'm not ever going to join up anything called silver sneakers. It's just not, I mean, on principle, I just will not do it.
You might someday.
My sneakers are the same as everybody else's sneakers.
And that 50 is a U.S. Department on Aging. That's their number.
It's like the BMI. No. It doesn't make any sense.
Right. Right.
I think it just is slightly outside of like where people, and even at the highest, the best athletes in the world, 50 is where you got to kind of hang it up.
As a professional, yes. So, as people live their lives, no.
No, correct. Yeah. So this is just right outside the range of being able to perform at the highest level and then up.
Yeah.
And the number has shifted because you're right. There are active people in the 90s.
Tiger Woods is almost, ready for the senior tour. Would you consider him to be... Lee Trevino.
Not yet, but okay. I mean,
but he will be 20 years from now. So I think,
but he's far closer to Lee Trevino than he is Colin Morikawa.
Yep. That was a weird
way of pronouncing his name.
That's a weird,
or a weird one to pick to.
No, I'm saying life today isn't categorized into two categories the way it used to be.
No,
you're right. I'm just talking about future. I mean, I'm a Parks Foundation board member. I'm supporting everything you do. I'm just giving you grief just because it's fun. But I'm saying, I think when you take life and you go, here's your dividing line at 50, there's a lot of people on that side of that line that are doing things that are not senior citizen, activities.
Right now you've got kids, adults, and seniors.
Right.
And
I think I'm an adult. I don't think I'm ready, whether I, AARP thinks I am or not, I don't think I'm ready for senior citizens.
Right. It's not retirees because you're not retired yet. It's mature adults.
No, and if you're going to go by retirees, the way we're going, no one's going to be retired before they're 75, so that's not even going to work.
Can't go by the foam and the sneakers either.
mature adult doesn't sound right either. So,
I'm just saying it's something to think about. I think there's an area in there that sort of blurred today where it used to be kind of a clear line of like you were, particularly when it comes to leisure or athletics or recreation.
And that's what we're trying to do with the new senior centers, really take a look and not make it geared towards the 78, 80 year olds. We want to bring in the folks who
because there's a gigantic difference. Right. I mean, there's a gigantic difference. I mean, look at our two presidential candidates.
Yeah. Yeah, they're, yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, so, and that's, I know I'm being sensitive to it, but I also think there's opportunity for a wider audience to do some other things that are in that same group. Like, I don't think because you're 50 doesn't mean you can't go roller skating or do the ropes course.
No, and there's a lot to do.
Yeah, absolutely. No doubt. Just don't put me in here with these pickleball people. That's all I'm saying. All right, senior games, the 22nd through the 26th. So I'm assuming it takes place multiple places, multiple days.
Yep.
But if you look at the schedule, you'll be able to figure out if you want to do multiple events. $20, you can do as many as you want, right?
Exactly.
That's crazy.
Exactly.
That's a great price. All right, Devin Amphitheater, there's been a lot of announcements. I don't remember for what's happened since last Wednesday you were here. Walker Hayes, I think, right?
Walker Hayes, country artist. We announced his tickets are going to go on sale this Friday at 10 a.m. This is an add-on show to the season ticket package this year, but ticket pricing right now, you can get a lawn ticket for just $35. If you want to sit the terrace, that's $65, and then reserved and pit are $75. So Walker's known for his song Fancy Like that topped every country music sales and streaming chart, spent more than 6 months at the number one on the Billboard Hot Country Song Charts. So.
Big chain ad campaign too, like the theme song for, what was it, one of the big restaurant chains.
Yeah.
Was it Applebee's?
Applebee's is what I was going to say. I think that's right. All right. So we've only got like literally a minute or so left here. I know it feels like a lot of add-on shows, you know, and I don't know if you're getting any grief at all from ticket, you know, season ticket holders. I mean, like it feels like we bought like the season tickets and then most of these shows, which I think is great because you just get more people there. But has there been any feedback at all on that?
A little bit. We still have a couple big names that we are holding out on that we put offers in that are big names.
Yeah.
It's just everybody is late. It's taking longer to get back with us. So that's where the disconnect a little bit is.
So what determines an add-on show versus something that would be included in the season ticket hold?
Sure. When you build the season ticket package, you'll have so many shows that are in, you know, the $80,000 to $100,000 range for artists, and then you'll have some that are in the 40 to 60. And you base
the price on that, and then anything over.
So you try to have a blend of shows to be able to make a season package that's still at a price point, because that price point, I think, is about 30% off of face value as a season ticket holder.
Makes sense.
It's a balancing act, but, you know, when we have shows fall in our lap or our show's finally concerned, then yeah, they end up being add-ons. But season ticket holders get first dibs on tickets.
No doubt. Great buy. Clay, we appreciate it. Have a great week.
Thanks, Brian.
We'll break for the news. Stay tuned.
Jay Crace with your stories now, brought to you by Shop on Main. Illinois Secretary of State Alexi Giannoulias is spearheading legislation that would enhance penalties against people who threaten libraries. Under the proposed law, anyone who sends two threatening messages by electronic media would be subject to a Class 2 felony. The bill also enhances penalties for people who make threats to not only librarians and other employees, but to library buildings. The bill has cleared a House committee. A new campaign to raise awareness about Illinois' firearm restraining orders or red flag laws is underway. The Illinois effort is the first phase of a planned multi-state campaign called Pause to Heal. It's designed to prevent firearm suicides and other shootings by educating the public about the state's red flag laws and the power that families and household members have to ask a court to temporarily restrict access to guns and ammo when a person poses a threat to themselves or others. For more stories, podcasts, and videos, visit our website, nowdecatur.com.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. Is a change in border policy on the horizon from President Biden?
According to Axios, President Biden is very well aware that he's getting killed on immigration right now and is planning to try to put forward an immigration-related executive order at the end of April, at the end of this month.
Fox's Peter Ducey at the White House, the president floating the idea during the interview with Univision.
There's no guarantee that I have that power all by myself without legislation.
An impeachment trial in the Senate of Homeland Security, Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas delayed since House Republican leader Mike Johnson says he will not deliver the paperwork until next week. World Athletics saying today it'll pay $50,000 to gold medalists at the Summer Games in Paris that begin at the end of July. America's listening to Fox News.
For 24 years, the Community Foundation of Macon County has connected the philanthropic goals of donors with community needs. This is Chris Lutt, Foundation Board Chair, and I'm honored to share that we have a new name, the Heart of Illinois Community Foundation. We've grown to over 400 funds established by individuals, families, businesses, agencies, and organizations to benefit a variety of community causes. Because of donor generosity, we've surpassed $50 million in awarded grants and scholarships, and in addition to serving Macon County, we've now grown to serve neighboring counties, Piatt and Moultrie, in the heart of Central Illinois. We're creating a better future through philanthropy that allows all to live, learn, work, and thrive. If you are interested in learning how you can work with the Heart of Illinois Community Foundation, call today at 217-429-3000 or visit our website at heartofillinois.org.
First Mid Insurance Group, First Mid Bank and Trust, and now Decatur have teamed up to bring you the First Mid Ticket Window with your chance to win tickets to see the beloved Cardinals play at Busch Stadium. Listen to Byers & Company from 6 to 9 for your chance to win. When they open the phone lines, be the correct caller at 217-875-1340. Also, keep an eye on the Now Decatur Facebook page for additional chances to win with the First Mid Ticket Window.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Here's a look at your news. Channel 20 storm team forecast today. Slight chance of rain, mainly after 5 p.m. Mostly cloudy and a high near 66. Tonight, windy with showers. And the rain could be heavy at times, low around 51. For Thursday, showers and more wind, high near 56. Friday, sunny and breezy with a high near 62. Current temperature in downtown Decatur, 49 degrees. Your WSOY time is 7:34.
Tupper on Sports on WSOY 1340 AM and 103.3 FM. Streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Each and every weekday morning, we have the great pleasure of checking in with Mark Tupper and Tupper on Sports. All right, let's do a little men's college basketball.
Well, Illinois got another transfer yesterday. Trey White, who is transferring from Louisville, is a 6'7 wing. He has a couple years of eligibility left. Last season, he averaged about 12.5 points, almost 6 rebounds at Louisville, and had 4 games of 20-plus, had 29 against Clemson. Originally from Dallas, ended up going out to California and playing for prolific prep out in Napa. That's where Coleman Hawkins came from. He started his college career at Southern Cal and was an all-Pac-12 freshman team player in 2022-23, transferred to Louisville, and is transferring again because Louisville fired their coach Kenny Payne, and Louisville now has 11 players in the transfer portal. So he will be here. And the final AP poll, and this includes all the games played in the NCAA tournament, that came out yesterday. Obviously, Connecticut number one, Purdue number two. But Illinois checked in at number 6, which is a pretty nice finish for them. And I was looking at a story about the bonuses earned by college coaches in the men's tournament. Dan Hurley from Connecticut earned $1.8 million in bonuses, and the highlights of which were he got $200,000 for reaching the Final Four, $200,000 for reaching the title game, and $500,000 for winning the national championship. So he got $900,000 for stuff that happened after they got to the Final Four, in addition to all the other bonuses he got for stuff in their conference, National Coach of the Year Award, 30 wins, all that kind of business. And then I looked at Brad Underwood's contract, and he had some interesting little earning opportunities in there. $15,000 for beating Missouri in the bragging rights game, $15,000 for beating Indiana, $15,000 for 10 Big Ten wins, $15,000 for 20 wins in the regular season, $50,000 for winning the Big Ten tournament title, $25,000 for reaching the round of 32, $50,000 for reaching the Sweet 16, $75,000 for getting to the Elite Eight. So he ended up getting $310,000 in bonuses plus a one-year contract extension, which takes him through the 2030 season. In that season, he will make $5.3 million guaranteed. So profitable to have that postseason success. And other coaches had similar kind of a deals, but pretty good deal for them.
No doubt about it. On the other side of the break with Mark Tupper, we'll do a little baseball and some college hoops ratings with Mark Tupper and Tupper on Sports. Brought to you by First National Bank, community banking the way it used to be.
Spring is here, and a perfect time to take advantage of a CD special from First National Bank of Decatur, offering an annual percentage yield as high as 5.28% for 9 months, depending on the product type. For details, visit either Decatur branch at 1688 Baltimore Road or downtown in the Milliken Building. You can also visit one of our other branches in Pena, Assumption, Taylorville, or Blue Mound. First National Bank of Decatur, the quality bank, FNB Quality, member FDIC.
Back here with Mark Tupper and Tupper on Sports. All right, Cards and Cubs.
Well, we haven't talked much baseball because of all the basketball going on, so catching up a little bit, 10 or 11 games into a very long season. The Cardinals got their new ace, Sonny Gray, back after an injury-delayed start to his season, and he pitched really well yesterday against the Phillies. Cardinals winning 3-0. He went five innings, gave up five hits, struck out five, and no runs allowed. They got a home run from Nolan Gorman. So they are 6-6. And today it's Philadelphia at St. Louis at 12:15. The Cubs are out on the coast. They beat San Diego 5-1 last night. They're trying to navigate through this early section without their ace, Justin Steele, who's out until at least May with an injury, and Jameson Taillon, who was going to be a starter and is out also. They pitched Ben Brown last night, his first major league start, and he was really good. They got their first career grand slam from Christopher Morel. And the Cubs beat the Padres 5-1. The Cubs are 7-4, and today play San Diego at 5:40. The thing I would say on the ratings, the women's one, I don't know how to project the women's one. I think that it was so skewed because of Caitlin Clark being the absolutely perfect heroine, and which only adds to her legacy in my mind. But as regarding the men's and the drop-off, I think the transfer portal and name, image, likeness stuff has really hurt the men's game. I think people don't like it. They don't like talking about it. They don't want to hear about it, particularly in the portal where you can't fall in love with D. Brown for 4 years anymore. D. Brown ain't going to be there 4 years. He's going to play at Illinois for 2 years, and then he's going to play at some other place, and then some other place after that. And that annoys fans, and I think it really hurts the game. And the NIL money, it's just like what's happening in golf. You know, there's so much money being thrown around, but people don't want to hear about it. They don't like the LIV golfers. They don't like the PGA golfers. Those tours are so fragmented now, and the golfers know it. You know, they're like, we got to stop talking about this. We got to come together somehow because we're killing each other with the game. And I think that's what's happened on the men's game.
All right. I appreciate it, Mark. Have a great day. We'll check in with you first thing tomorrow morning. I don't disagree with any of that. It's not going to change though.
No, and they're starting to see the I was reading some articles over the break that said that they've received the highest viewership of the opening weekend Saturday, and so viewership is up in the earlier rounds and bringing the whole, but the superior final game or final two games, obviously a dip from the bigger numbers from before.
Yeah, but you also, they're combining those numbers of all those games. I mean, you have, I mean, that's just a math equation when you have this many games going on at the beginning.
No, they cited specific games. I mean, I've got it right here. They were citing Sunday's games. Hold on. It was, there's a lot of stats in here, but they set the record on one particular game averaging, Saturday's night games average 10.8 million, which is the best viewership for the first day of the second round ever. So they've brought the whole thing up. It's just the premier event isn't the crown jewel it once was. They've got over a billion touch points.
Then you've got it backwards. I mean, the sport does.
Yeah, it's not as compelling at the end for all the reasons Mark laid out.
But I'm just saying, you know, try selling somebody on the excitement of the second weekend Saturday night numbers.
Fair enough.
I mean, from a advertising dollar perspective, right? Hey, we're going to give you 10 million. Well, how come the women's championship game gave us almost 20 million?
Yeah. And here's the,
at 2 o'clock in the afternoon,
the most impressive number, which probably is what I think is the biggest, from March 20th to March 24th, total impressions for the four networks were up 8% to 14.2 billion mm-hmm. on the year before.
Yeah. And a championship game was down 50%. And that is, you know, if you're going to have the Olympics, you can't not have the gold medals. I mean, you know, you can't just go, well, we watched a lot of the you know, first run at track and field.
Right.
Didn't watch the actual medal round. I mean, it's, you know, if you were selling it, I guess, by day part or weekend, you know what I mean? That's not what Visa buys into. Or Ford or whoever it might be. compelling stories, yes. There will always be dips or increases based on whatever story is involved. Some are more compelling than others. Some, you find a bigger jump, like with a wider swath of audience, it goes, yeah, I can relate to that. You know, yeah. That's the stuff year to year you can't predict, right?
Right.
But I don't think Mark's wrong about the popularity overall. When you become mercenary, and I don't mean that I hold it against anyone for wanting to better their lives or the NIL money, none of that stuff bothers me. These kids have been used by the system for years and years. I'm not arguing from a moral perspective at all. But when it does just come to be like, how much money can I make and how cutthroat can I be and how can I just drop this team and go to the next team? And not even in just basketball. I saw a dad roasting his own kid for his third senior night.
No, oh, that's why.
It's almost like a hockey player or something. I mean, it wasn't like that. It's like the system is more important than the fan base. And when you treat the fan base as your last thing to worry about, mm-hmm. there's always the danger that you lose audience.
It almost sounds like signing a player to a 4-year contract would be advantageous for continuity of the sport.
But you're good luck with that because your competition down the street will go, nope, 1 year is good with us. You know, I don't know what the answer is. I don't know if there is an answer.
Yeah.
Based on how it exists today. But Mark's right about the golf comparison, right?
Oh, yeah.
And they're seeing it. You got these people whining, we're only making millions. People don't, who relates to that?
Right. Football doesn't experience the same problem because you can't really go to the NFL as an 18-year-old freshman.
Some systems in place, right?
That's right.
And it's also what I think Liv has done that's harmful to the game. I don't care at all if Liv exists and people enjoy it, but when you throw money at something that has nothing to do with the outcome, like there's no reward in winning, that takes the compelling story out of it, I think. When you just get paid to show up.
And that's most professional sports, though.
But it has.
Almost all of them. Yeah. Golf is unique. And boxing. Those are prize money.
Yeah.
But pro sports is, we will pay you. You break your leg.
Okay. But is boxing going to just start paying everybody the same amount of money, whether they fight or not, or whether they win or not, or they do? I mean, are they going to start that? Not based on pay-per-view or anything else? They're just going to start paying everybody just to train?
Oh, no, not just to train, but to show up and fight. They do get a baseline salary, and the winner gets the big purse.
Okay. Golf is down 25% in viewership. Liv is dead in the water numbers. I mean, they're horrible. But the PGA now, you would think that, you know, the other side of this, way down. We'll see what Augusta looks like this week. That's a whole different thing.
Yeah.
That's like their NCAA championship, right?
Yeah, it's a good way to measure it.
But we'll see. All right, Senator Turner's waiting to get on with us. We'll visit with her on the other side of the break. And then a little later today, our friends from Millikan, Molly Berry, will be in, the director of admission for Millikan. We'll talk about their transfer day coming up on April 12th. We'll be back with more right after this.
At Busey Wealth Management, we're proud to partner with individuals, families, and foundations, ensuring possibilities become achievements. From preserving and enhancing your assets to securing your legacy for future generations, we're focused on your success. UC Bank, building business, growing wealth since 1868. Proud to be the official bank of the Fighting Illini. Member FDIC.
Hey ladies, get ready for a night of fun and golf. Join us at Overlook Adventure Park on May 9th for Playing 5 to 9, the ultimate ladies' night out. Grab your girlfriends and enjoy 18 holes of mini golf with some exciting perks along the way. Get ready for surprises, vendors, special treats, drinks, and appetizers on certain holes, making your mini golf experience even more enjoyable. Don't miss Playing 5 to 9 at Overlook Adventure Park on May 9th.
We get it. Technology is a big part of the world today. At Brinkotter Realtors, we know that behind every powerful tool, there needs to be a compassionate person dedicated to your goals. We believe that a genuine connection is simply irreplaceable. With us, you get the best of both worlds, cutting-edge technology and a team of professionals who truly care. Discover the difference at Brinkotter Realtors, where technology meets heart. Visit us online or call to connect with one of our agents today.
Find your way home. Brinkotter.com.
On the battlefield, there's a saying America's military men and women live by. Never leave a fallen warrior behind, ever. Off the battlefield, Wounded Warrior Project operates with the same goal. Wounded Warrior Project was created to help our men and women returning home with the scars of war, whether those scars are physical or mental. Wounded Warrior Project. We never leave a fallen warrior behind, ever. Learn more about what we do at WoundedWarriorProject.org.
You're listening to Byers & Company, streaming live at NowDecatur.com.
We're back here on a Wednesday. Senator Doris Turner in studios with us for her monthly appearance. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm hanging in there for 50 or something.
We're not going to talk about age.
All right. We will do that. What are you doing in Decatur today?
Well, I came to visit with you.
Oh, I appreciate
and then,
that.
And then I'm headed back to Springfield. We are on deadline week. So,
What's that look like? I mean, you know, for folks who aren't there to see kind of the grind, we get the headlines, we get the stories, but we're not there to see the process work.
So now, on Friday, all bills have to be out of the Senate and over to the House if we want to see them continue to keep moving. So we are in committees almost all day and then on the floor the rest of the time. I had a success yesterday. I moved my big bill over to the House. It's the bill dealing with the horrific Carlinville funeral home.
This is the negligence, the funeral home negligence. Yes.
So I had a piece of legislation that I have really been championing that moved out of the Senate on a 55-0 vote and over to the House.
Does that happen very often? 55-0?
55-0. I'm really excited. It was truly a bipartisan bill.
Well, why wouldn't people want to treat the dead with respect and dignity? And if you're responsible in that arena to do that, that you would be held accountable.
Absolutely.
To do that.
And this one was so horrific that really had reverberations throughout the United States. Yeah. There were families on the East Coast and West Coast and everywhere in between that were victimized by the actions of Heinz Funeral Home.
Yeah, it's just bad actors, right?
Bad actors.
It doesn't matter what business you're in, but there's nothing more sacred or more important, I think, to people than the it's hard to imagine people taking advantage of that.
It really is. And you know, these are people that thought they had done the right thing and thought that they had lived up to their loved ones' wishes. And then to find out, you know, that didn't happen. And then take into consideration that there are also religious concerns that, you know, it come into play.
So what would this Senate bill do, you know, now that it's going over to the House? And I'm assuming it will pass there. Or
I'm hopeful.
Well, I know. Yeah. But I mean, because it was such a bipartisan thing, which we don't have all that often anymore. What would it do to, you know, regulate and keep this behavior from happening?
So a couple of things. It would mandate a unique identifier so that we would know who that person is.
You know what? You just made a good point. We should go back and explain. There were, what, more than 60 families that received the wrong remains. And, I mean, it was like just I don't know how all that happened, but this would put in place safety precautions that would hopefully keep this from happening.
Absolutely.
Again. Requirements.
Absolutely. There were over 60 families that did receive the wrong remains, and most of those were cremations.
Yeah.
So there's no way that you can go back and fix that. It's over. It's done. But there would be a unique identifier that would follow the person from the time that they die until their, you know, remain to their final resting place, so that you would know where that person is all along the way. The other thing that it would also do is part of what happened in that situation, and then in a follow up situation that we learned about, is that the conditions in that funeral home were just horrific. There were bodies that had been laying there for months.
Yeah.
That nothing had happened. And so when a complaint is filed with Department of Professional Regulations, they have 10 days
okay,
to come in. And
you would think this would be a fairly regulated business to begin with, but sometimes you find out that's not necessarily the case. Mm-hmm. What's the debate with food deserts and what's going on? You know, we have a lot of rural areas in our community, in your district. The one thing I learned in all of our efforts over the years with the food drive is that, you know, people have this thing where they think poverty or food insecurity only exist in like large inner city neighborhoods. It exists everywhere.
It exists everywhere.
And sometimes those places where it exists, there's fewer resources.
Absolutely. So there are a number of pieces of legislation making their way through the General Assembly dedicated to food deserts and what we do about food insecurity. And I'm very excited about it. And all of those are going through basically on a bipartisan basis as well. So Senator Kaler and I have been working together on a couple of pieces of legislation that would put more money into a program that we passed out of the General Assembly last year that would provide funding for those farmers and farming that have the excess food and then work on how we can get it there. And I have a piece of legislation that I'm really excited about that would provide funding for farmer-owned grocery stores.
Okay.
And they're small and they're in the rural areas and people have access. It's almost like a roadside farmer's market in a building and not on the side of the road.
But you can incentivize that by
And the great thing about it is that it provides food and addresses the food insecurities, but it also is an economic engine because there's one in Rigston, and that's where this idea came from.
Okay, what does that look like?
And so she has an operation where she's a farmer, so she has her what she has on her farm, the meats and things, but she gets items from farmers and other entities from around her.
Okay.
So everything that she sells in her market or small grocery store is from a local person. So you're talking about, so that's kind of an economic engine that's driving it. And she has
also healthier food.
Yes, healthier food. So she has beef and pork and chicken and
produce,
mm-hmm. Baked goods, honey, milk, cheeses, and all of these things are locally grown and produced. So, you know, if we can replicate that, that would be, would go a long way to addressing the food insecurity, but also be an economic engine for these local rural communities. And I think we have to start thinking outside the box.
That would be things.
Yeah. Because everybody doesn't have a county market or a Kroger or a Ruler Foods that they can go to.
And it's getting harder and harder. Yes. I know that some people may not think that's the case, but it absolutely is.
Oh, it absolutely is.
All right. Well, if folks want to chat with somebody here locally or talk to your office in any way, how do they do that?
So, you know, I have an office in Decatur, yep. And so we're there full service. Just reach out to us in any way. And then we also have, of course, the two offices in Springfield. And I get over here a lot, so I really have immersed myself into this community. So you may just see me anywhere.
How do you work with your other Central Illinois folks? I mean, we have a pretty divided, you know, we got red representation, we got blue representation.
And everything in between.
And everything in between. But we seem so far apart today. Mm-hmm. Like, I you know, more so than it used to be, you know, we appreciate you coming in and talking about what you're doing in Springfield. But how do you get along with the other area reps and senators and do you have regular conversations?
I do. You know, it's of course Sue and I talk a lot because we've been, you know, on this journey together for a long time, long before I got into the Senate. And then there's the Turner Caucus, Sally Turner,
yeah,
who is up in represents the Lincoln area. Her and I talk a lot on the floor, off the floor, and have conversations when we're not in session. And we're actually working on a project together because there's some, you know, closures potentially in the Lincoln area with regard to corrections.
Right.
So we've been working very, very closely on that. And, you know, my I run into Dan Calkins all the time, and I'm really going to miss him. I know that that may – you may not believe it, but I am going to miss him. We –
that may be the strangest thing I've heard all day today.
Yeah.
I don't have any reason not to believe you. Why?
Yeah, but we do. Whenever, you know, it's not anything that we schedule or, you know, plan to meet up, but it just seems that we run into each other all the time. And whenever we do, it's always very pleasant.
Well, that's great, but do you guys ever have any conversations about what's good for the constituents?
You know, we do. And I think that Dan and I are on one accord when we talk about and want to see what's good for this community, because we both care a lot about and love this community, and we want to see it thrive. We want to see it be the best that he can be. Sometimes I think that there's two different, and I'm not saying this specifically about Dan, Representative Calkins, but sometimes there are two different people. There's the person that's on the floor and doing what they think they need to do for their constituents, but also for their colleagues. And then there's the person that is away from all of that, that's really working behind the scenes to move things along.
Yeah, I guess it used to be, or at least maybe I have a romantic, notion that it used to be that when you were elected, it didn't matter whether you were a Democrat or Republican, mm-hmm. you were there to represent all of your constituency, not just the people that voted for right. you, but the whole thing. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure it happens on both sides. I don't think it's a one side or the other deal. Mm-hmm. But do you feel like it's your responsibility to not only represent the people who put yard signs up and walked in parades with you, but you're there to represent everybody in your district?
Absolutely. And I have always, you know, my time on the county board, time on the city council, and now my time in the Senate, I have always represented a district that was not a over-the-top Democratic district. I've always represented a district that was a real hybrid district that oftentimes had more Republican voters than Democratic voters. So that's always been the way that I have kind of conducted myself. And I will say that I believe that my success in this arena is.
You've been listening to the Newhoff Media Podcast Network. For more, visit newhoffmedia.com.